Before we get too deep into the message this morning, y'all want to have just a little bit of fun? You want to have a little bit of fun? I know that I do. So I want to ask you, how many of you, does anybody in here, do you have the spiritual gift of losing things? You know, I do. I actually have a set of truck keys that I've lost somewhere in the house. And the reason I know they're somewhere at the house is because my truck was parked outside. And so somewhere between the 10 feet from the truck and inside the house, I've lost a set of keys and I can't find them for months now. And thank God he loves me and looks after me, and I had a second spare of keys in there. And I'm also very good at setting down my phone or even having it in my hand and asking Shelly, "Have you seen my phone? I can't find my phone." So now you kind of have an idea of how to pray for your pastor this morning. I probably need to seek some professional help, but I'm just that bad at it. But is anyone else like that? You know, you got your sunglasses you can't find because they're on top of your head. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, we laugh about that a little bit because we all do. We misplace things. But sometimes what we lose isn't just physical, but sometimes it's much more personal, isn't it? And like maybe you've experienced an emotional loss. Maybe you've lost your peace, or maybe you've lost your purpose, or it could be that you lost a relationship, or maybe you lost some trust in somebody that was close to you. Or maybe it was more like a spiritual loss where you were full of the joy of the Lord, but now you've lost your joy. Or you've lost your spiritual passion, if you will, your intimacy with God, and you don't feel close to him anymore. And so as we're looking at Elisha today, I'm going to show you a very unusual miracle, and it illustrates a very powerful principle from God. And that principle is this: God will help you find what you didn't mean to lose. Okay? God will help you find what you didn't mean to lose, because our God is a good God and a loving God, and he specializes in restoring that which was lost. He's the God of restoration, and he'll help you find what you didn't mean to lose. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him for his help in this message today. Father, today I pray that if there's anyone here today that is hurting or has experienced a loss, Father, today I pray through the Holy Spirit that you would bring it back, whatever the enemy has stolen, and Lord, that we would experience your goodness in this place today. And Father, it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ we ask. And everybody says, amen. Amen. I actually have a picture I want to show you. My father-in-law, this is how bad I am. My father-in-law gives me a key to his shed, and he puts it on a CD so I won't lose. That's how bad I am. is anybody else that bad? I don't know. Okay. I got some yeses out there. Okay, I don't feel too bad then. But hey, we're in a message series on Elisha, and we're going to finish that up today, okay? So I want to review just a little bit of where we've been over the last 3 weeks. You know, the first week, you remember that Elijah the prophet came to Elisha as he was working out in the field with his oxen and his plow, and he put his cloak on him and called him to be the next prophet. And so Elisha, we see that, if you remember the story, he burnt the plow. He took his wooden plow, beat it into pieces, set it on fire, slaughtered the oxen, cooked the meat, and fed it to his family and friends as if to say, you know what, I'm all in. There's no turning back. I have nothing to come back to. I'm all yours. And so that was a great week to look at. And then week two, we talked about the three armies, and they were out of water as they were trying to take on one army. And then God spoke to Elisha the prophet, and he told him, he says, go dig some ditches. And when they dug a ditch, God filled it with water. And sometimes, we talked about that, sometimes God asks you and I to dig a ditch, doesn't he? And then last week we did it online since we couldn't meet. I did a small message from my house. And we talked about the widow who was about to lose her two sons because she owed a debt that she couldn't pay, and she didn't have enough. And so God, through the prophet Elisha, told her, said, go and gather some jars, some empty jars. And so she gathered the jars and God filled them. As long as there was an empty jar, God supplied her need and even more. And sometimes we found out that you and I, we have to empty out ourselves of the things of this world so that God can fill us with more of Him. Amen? And then, so today we're going to see a miracle that Elisha performed. And it seems a little bit to me like a magic trick. You know, when I think about it and you read it, you're like, man, that's kind of weird. And so, but you're like, that's really cool, God, but why are you doing this? Why are you performing this miracle? And I want to give you just a little bit of context on that really quick. And so before God performed this miracle, Elisha, he was training up some young men and to learn the ways of God and to learn how to serve others. And I think that it must have been kind of a similar time in a moment in time as it is today. And let me tell you why I say that is because in the 24 years that I've been in ministry, I've never seen a spiritual hunger like we're seeing today. You know, we see on college campuses where revivals are breaking out and we're seeing young adults coming to Christ and follow Jesus all over. And people are coming to church that have never been to church before. You see, there's a genuine spiritual hunger going on because I believe it's because people are hurting and they're broken and they're longing for something more. And I think that this must have been kind of what was going on back in the day that we're talking about, because there were so many young men that were coming to serve God that they actually ran out of room to put them. And so their numbers were growing so much that their housing was too small. And so they decided to add on so that they could have more room for these young men to come and learn to serve God. And so we find this story in 2 Kings chapter 6. Starting in verse 1 through 7, that's the whole story, seven verses. But we can see that what they did there in this short passage of Scripture is they went down to the river to cut some trees so that they could add on to the housing to hold more young men. And in the middle of doing God's work, there was this unnamed prophet. We don't know his name or who he was, but he loses a borrowed axe head, okay? And so he panics, and Elisha is going to come, and he cuts a stick, and he throws it into the water and where the axe head fell. And guess what? That axe head floated from the bottom of the river up to the water, to the top of the water. That's pretty cool, right? But when I read this, I have to ask, but why? Why? Like, God, why would you get involved in something so small as an axe head that fell to the bottom of the river? And I'm not sure, but I think maybe it's because it's not always the big battles that breaks us, but sometimes it's the little losses along the way that just pile up and pile up, and the things that we thought didn't matter until they do. And one day it just becomes too much. And our story today illustrates this principle that God will help you find what you didn't mean to lose. I want us to look at chapter 2, or 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 4, for just a minute. We see, when they arrived at the Jordan River, the prophets began cutting down trees. Thank you. But when one of them was cutting a tree, his axe head flew into the river. Now, everybody say what he said. He says, oh, sir. And I want to pause a moment here, and I want just to acknowledge the godliness of this young prophet, because he could have said, oh, something else, right? And many people might have. I don't know. But this was a young man of God who said, oh, sir, he cried. It was a borrowed axe. Where did it fall? The man of God asked. Talking about Elisha. And now I think about all the miracles that God used Elisha to perform and to do, all these other big miracles. And here he is, he's asking, where did it fall? And the text tells us this. It says, when he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it into the water at that spot. And then the axe head floated to the surface. Grab it, Elisha said. And the man reached out and grabbed it. You see, God used this prophet to raise an axe head out of the water, and it floated up to the top. And when you think about all these other miracles that God used Elisha for, I mean, he used him to part the Jordan River. He used him to cleanse the water in Jericho. He healed a leper. He used him to raise a dead boy back to life. So you have to ask, why would God use Elisha to just make an axe head float? Well, we're going to discover a principle that I believe God wants us to learn this morning, and that's this, is sometimes the smallest miracles carry the biggest message. Sometimes the smallest miracle carries the biggest message. Let me give you some history on that, because here we are, we're back in the 9th century B.C., when all of this was happening. And we have to understand, if we think about this story, that iron was a very rare and very, very expensive. And so most people couldn't even come close to owning their own axe, affording to have their own axe. And so here's this young prophet, and most likely he borrowed this axe from a very wealthy person. We know he borrowed it, but it had to be probably from some wealthy person. And so now, if you were with us a couple of weeks ago, or last week in my message from the house, if you'll remember that if you lost something or you owed somebody some money back in this time, a creditor could come and they could take your children and they would be their slaves until the debt was paid off. And I'm not sure, but I think maybe this might have been the reason my mom and dad had 6 kids. like if they got in trouble, they could say, I'll just take those 2 right there. We got 4 more. We're okay, you know. So I'm kidding. Kinda. Let's get back to the story here. So losing a valuable tool that was borrowed wasn't just going to be embarrassing for this young prophet. You see, it could have been a lifelong debt that he would have owed. And we might see this as just a small thing, losing an axe head. But it was a really, really big deal back in that time. And so whenever God makes this axe head float, it reminds us of that if it matters to you, it matters to God. So if it matters to you, it matters to God. Our good God cares about every detail of your life and my life. Amen? And so that just really blows me away sometimes when I get to thinking about how amazing our God is. I mean, you think about the same God that created the world and everything in it. He sees you and he sees me, and he loves us more than we can even think or imagine. He loves us that much. And because God loves you, we have to understand that God cares about what you care about and what I care about. That same God that cared enough to make this axe head float, he cares enough about the headaches that just don't seem to go away that you're having. That same God that made this axe head float, it rises to the top because he knows, he cares about the fear that has gripped your soul. Because what matters to you matters to God. I want to tell you just a quick story. Just a few months ago, I was out hunting, and I had dropped my friend David off at his blind, and I went over to my blind, and I get out, and I'm walking over to the blind, and the grass is about knee-deep, and so I'm walking across, and I get in the blind, and I thought, man, I'm going to call David, make sure he got in his, and where's my cell phone? And I'd lost my phone. So I thought, okay, I've just got to go back to the truck and see if I can find it. And so I walk all the way back to the truck. I don't see the phone. And so I realized 2 things once I got to the truck and I started to come back. I realized, I thought, you know what? I've got to find this phone. I mean, this is kind of my lifeline. It's got my Apple Pay with all my credit cards on it. It's got pictures of my kids and my grandkids. It's got all my contacts. And I thought, Lord, I've got to find this phone. And so I prayed and I said, God, I need you to help me find this phone. But I realized a couple of things. One, the ringer was off, because I didn't want it to disturb any animals if somebody called. And so the ringer was off, and I was like, oh, man, we're not going to hear it ring. And second thing I realized is that I didn't take any particular path to the blind. I was just walking through the grass willy-nilly, you know, just going my way. And so I'm walking back, and I'm praying, Lord, help me find this phone. And I thought, well, if nothing else, you know, I'm trying to work it out myself instead of just trusting God. Well, maybe if when it gets dark, David can come and we can call it and we'll find it. But I want you to know I found the phone upside down, and so it wouldn't have done any good if we'd have waited till dark. But as I'm walking and I'm praying, God cared about what matters to me, and he led me right to that phone, laying there upside down in this really tall grass. And so God cares about the things that care that matter to you and I. Amen? And God will help you find what you didn't mean to lose. That's how good our God is. And so today I want to ask you this question, and we're going to pray at the end of service, and we're going to seek the God of restoration. But I want to ask you this question first. What have you lost that God wants to restore? I want you to think about that as we go through the rest of this message. What have you lost that God wants to restore? And I need to be clear for just a moment here, because you see, I'm not talking about a permanent loss, like you lost a loved one. I understand and I acknowledge very well that that's very real and it's breaking loss. I'm not talking about that kind of loss, like I'm losing signal here or something. He cares about that. But I want to acknowledge that that we're talking about something that's still very recoverable, right? You lost something that God can still restore. Like maybe you lost a relationship with somebody over something silly. Or maybe you lost your joy and you became a cynical person. Or maybe you lost the respect of your kids because you did something that you can't undo. Or maybe you lost your peace of mind because you have no sense of the presence of God in your life anymore. Or you've lost your hope for the future. Or maybe you're one of those that were on fire for God at one time and you were sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit and you were walking by faith and not by sight, and you were hearing God's voice and you were making a difference in the church, but then all of a sudden you lost your spiritual passion. You lost the desire to share your faith with someone. You lost your drive to live a holy life. You lost the hunger for God's word. You know, I remember when I was first saved, when I was first saved, I was bold for Jesus. I was a UPS driver, and everywhere I went on my route, I was going in the back doors of stores, and I was telling everybody, hey, if Jesus can save a sinner like me, he can save you too. And I was just sharing his word with everybody, and I was just on fire for God. But then God called me into the ministry and I became a children's pastor. And you would think that when you're a pastor, that man, that fire would burn even hotter, right? That's what you would think. But it's kind of a weird thing. And the only way I can describe it or say it is that the way that I was doing the work of God started to actually hurt the work of God in me, if that makes sense to you. You know, I remember one week when I was studying for a message, the Holy Spirit just kind of nudged me one time, and I realized that the only time that I was reading my Bible was because I was studying for a message. I wasn't studying the Word to feed my soul and so that God could renew me and renew my mind. And then I also remember just weeks later after that, I remember the Holy Spirit just giving me another nudge as I was standing on stage and I was praying, and I realized this was the only time I had prayed that whole week. And God showed me something through all that. He showed me that I'd become a full-time pastor, but I'd become a part-time follower of Jesus. And that's not easy to admit. But I'd lost my first love. And maybe that's you right now. Maybe that's you. You lost your spiritual passion, your joy, or you lost your spouse, or you lost something else. And I'm here to remind you this morning that our God specializes in restoring what is lost. Our God can help you find what you didn't mean to lose. Amen? Then the question comes up, but how does God do that, right? How does God do that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I want to share a couple of thoughts with you from our story here in Elisha. The first thought is this, if you lose something, first of all, be honest about where you lost it. You see, in verse 6, Elisha, he asked the man, that young prophet, he said, where did it fall? In other words, he's saying, where did you lose the axe head? Where did you last see it? Where did it fall? Why did Elisha ask him this question? I can tell you, our CR people, they know. They know it because they know that the recovery starts with honesty, right? It starts with honesty. So we have to be honest about when you lose it, why you lost it, and where you lost it. And I'm going to tell you right now, I lost my passion for Jesus whenever I stopped seeking him on a daily basis. And whenever I started serving for the approval of people instead of for the goodness of God. That's when I lost it. I stopped seeking him for myself, and I started performing for people to like me instead of serving for the pleasure and the goodness of God. So what about you? If you lost something that matters to you, when did you lose it? Why did you lose it? Can I give you some thoughts on where you might look and what you might say to God if you've lost something? You might say to God, I lost my way whenever I got into a relationship that I know I should have never gotten into. Maybe you started dating someone who pushed you to do things that you know you shouldn't do, or they started taking you places that you know you shouldn't be. Or maybe you developed a friendship that instead of sharpening you and drawing you closer to God, maybe they started bringing you into things that were destructive in your life. Because I'm going to tell you, the Bible's very clear that bad company corrupts good character, right? Or maybe you say, well, you know what? I lost my freedom whenever my secret habit took control of my life. That thing that you thought, hey, it's nobody else's business. It's not hurting anyone. And it wasn't until it started hurting you. Until now you're a prisoner of it. Or you might say, you know what? You lost your peace whenever you held on to a hurt instead of giving it over to God. Whenever you held a grudge, whenever you hated or you let bitterness just overtake you and overcome you. Or you might say, well, you know what? I lost my joy whenever I let comparison take over in my life. I started scrolling and looking and feeling less than and thinking, why am I not and why are they? And all of a sudden, I lost my joy because I'm not seeking God, but I'm all dissatisfied in my spirit now because I'm looking at other people and comparing myself to them. Maybe you say, well, I lost my intimacy with God when I stopped making space to hear his voice. When I stopped seeking him and stopped letting his word renew my mind and conform me into the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ himself. Whenever I stopped calling on him, whenever I stopped letting him direct my steps, when I stopped using the gifts that he had given me to make a difference in the lives of others, that's whenever I lost my first love. How about you? We got to be honest. Where did we lose it? I think we need to think about that for a moment this morning. The second thing that I want to recall on this story is, or want us to know, is that with God's help, we can take back what you lost. Take back what the devil took from you, and by faith, take back what you should have never lost in the first place. I want us to look at verse 6. It says here, it says, when he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it into the river at that spot, and then the axe head floated to the surface. And then what did he tell him to do? He said, grab it. Everybody say, grab it. And when the man reached out and grabbed it, do you know that this tells me that God will make it float, but you have to grab it. It's up to us. We have to grab on. And if you remember a few weeks ago, we also talked in one of our stories that sometimes that God wants you to participate in the miracles that he's doing in your life. You remember the story that I was telling you about Jesus, and when he came to the man that had the withered arm, and he said, stretch out your hand. See, he wanted him to participate. He told the crippled man, he said, take up your bed and walk. He told the blind man, he said, hey, go and wash it off in the river from the mud that he put in his eyes. You see, sometimes God wants you and me to participate in what he's doing in our lives and in the miracles. In other words, only God can send the rain, but sometimes you and I have to dig a ditch. And only God can multiply the oil, but sometimes he wants you and I to go and gather the empty jars. And sometimes only God can make an axe head float, but he still wants you and me to grab it. He wants us to reach out and grab it. And that's why you and I need to know this morning that God can help you find what you didn't mean to lose. But I want you to be prepared for this, okay? Because the devil's a liar. He's actually the father of lies. And the moment that you and I, the moment we step out in faith, he steps in with fear. And he'll try to tell you that you're too late or that you're too bad or that you'll never get it back. You'll never be happy. You'll never be on fire for God again. You'll never make a difference for the kingdom of God again. And that's why I want to tell you this morning that with God, it's not too late. It's not too late this morning because our God is a good God. And the same God that created the universe, he sees you this morning, he sees me, and he cares about us. He cares about you this morning. Our God is a God of restoration. When you look into 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, this is what it says about God. It says, and the God of all grace will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. How many of you want to be strong, firm, and steadfast in your walk with God? Amen. That's the God we serve because he's the God of all grace, the God of all power. He's the God who is and the God who knows all things. He himself will restore and he'll make you firm. He'll make you strong and steadfast. And I want us to know about this without a doubt today. I want us to know without a shadow of a doubt in your mind that with God, you can still be the person that he called you to be. Don't let the devil lie to you this morning because you haven't gone too far. You haven't failed him too much. You can get back to that first love that you once had with him. And that's why this story of Elisha is so powerful. And that's why I chose to spend a few weeks just talking about this prophet, Elisha, is because the story is more than just a string of miracles. You see, it's a story of faith in the power and in the promises of God. It's a story about this ordinary kid, a little farm boy, who puts his faith in the goodness of God, and he burns his plow to say, hey, I'm all in. I'm going with you. And he put his faith in God, and in a God that cared about what he cared about. And this morning, we need to put our faith in a God that cares about what we care about. Would you stand with me for just a moment, please? Will you play some music? You see, in the same way, if you put your faith in the goodness of God, our God that cares about what you and I care about, he can help you find what you didn't even mean to lose. I'm telling you, I didn't mean to lose my first love with him. It just happened. Over time, I just got busy thinking I'm doing the work of the Lord. and it stopped the work of the Lord in me. So let me ask you again, what have you lost that God wants to restore? I want to tell you one thing. He wants to do it today. You don't have to wait. You don't have to think, well, when I get good enough, whenever I've gotten away from my habit long enough, I hadn't done that for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month, or if I've got my 30-day chip or my 60-day chip, you don't have to wait till then. He wants to restore it now. He's a God of restoration. Is there something in your life that you once had and you lost it? Let me ask you this. Do you believe that he wants to restore it? Do you believe he loves you that much that he wants to just say, hey, I'll give it back to you. I'll help you find it. Here it is. And restore what you lost. If that's you this morning, you say, you know what? I've lost something, and I believe that God wants to restore it, and I want him to restore it today. Would you just slip your hand up right now? I've got mine up. I want him to restore some things in my life this morning. And I want us to, by faith this morning, to grab it. To grab it and begin to pray and to seek God to restore what was once in your life this morning. I want you to just close your eyes and bow your head and begin to pray and seek God. I want you to understand this is a prayer that only you can pray. It's between you and God. You know what you lost. I don't. But you and God know. So right now, I just want you to take a few moments and just begin to seek him. Seek his face this morning. And ask him to help restore the things that were once in your life. Father, we come to you today, and I come to you today because you're a God of restoration. And today, God, I pray that you would restore to us the things that we've lost this morning. Father, maybe it's the years that the enemy has taken from us, the joy that we once had. Father, I pray that you would restore that passion for your word in our people's lives this morning. God, restore our families, restore our marriages, restore our faith and our hope in you this morning. Father, restore our health. God, there's so many of us that need a touch in our bodies today. Father, would you restore our health this morning? God, we might have set something down and we don't even know where we set it down. If that's the case, God, I pray that you'd reveal to us where we lost it. Because you're a God of restoration, Father, and I ask you to speak to us today. Minister to your people, Father. Help us to lean on you today and not our own understanding. And Father, acknowledge you in all of our ways, God, so that you can direct our path to what it was we once had that we lost. You know, there may be someone here today and you don't even know Jesus. Or maybe you're here this morning and maybe you did have a relationship with him, but you've lost it. You've walked away. I don't know who you are, but I want you to know you're the one he's coming after today. You're not here by accident. I say that all the time. You're not here by accident. He's been drawing you through the Holy Spirit to a point at the cross. And the reason he's done that is because he loves you. And he desires to have a relationship with you. You see, he'll leave the 99 for the one because he cares about you. He cares about you. That's how good he is, that he came and he died for your sins so that you could have everlasting life. And today is the day for you to turn to him and to ask for the forgiveness of your sins and for Jesus to save your soul this morning. And when you do, I can promise you this, Jesus will wash away every sin inside of you, and he'll cast it into the sea of forgetfulness, and he'll write your name into the Lamb's Book of Life. But will you call on him today? That's the key. That's the question. Will you call on him and say, like this prophet did, "Oh, sir, I'm lost and I need a Savior." And when you do, you see, he'll come in and he'll grab your heart and he'll make it new. If that's you this morning, just in a step of faith, would you just raise your hand this morning and say, "I need a Savior. I need a Savior." Would everyone pray with me so that no one prays alone? We're going to pray that Jesus would come into your life and save you today, forgive you of your sins. And so pray with me right now. Father God, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me like you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that you can lead me and guide me for the rest of my life. I give you my life, and I thank you for yours. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.